You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Monday, March 13th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning, alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, and sitting in with us this morning, Matty Modica. I'm Greg Sussman. 2 hours here on a cold Monday morning in New York City. It's the middle of March, shouldn't be this cold, but nevertheless, middle of March means the madness is upon us. Good morning, Modica.
Good morning. I am woke today. It was it's nice and brisk out there to bring that storm on.
It is not warm out, and tomorrow it's going to be quite a blizzard, Corey Parson.
That's what the word on the street is, so, you know, we'll see how that plays out. You know, the weatherman
yes.
Can be incorrect sometime. I kind of hope that is the case, but then again, who doesn't like a snow day? You know what I mean?
We don't get a snow day, so.
No, I feel what you're saying.
So, I don't like the snow
day. We don't get a snow day. Yeah. That is true, too.
So, yeah.
I got my headphones in. Yeah, so here we go right there. I'm
How was your weekend, man?
Who, me? Pretty quiet, pretty slow, you know what I'm saying? A lot of Netflix, a lot of just hanging, kicking it, you know what I mean? Nothing spectacular. Obviously, had the football slow draft going on. Didn't get to watch, you know, it was a big sports weekend as far as like WBC was very interesting, of course, March Madness, but that basketball game we was looking forward to on Saturday night, that didn't take shape.
No, because
nobody
didn't work
played.
Out. That didn't work out. We're gonna get to that one in a little bit, because I know,
like, I'm taking a picture of me.
We had talked
paparazzi, Greg.
We had talked all last week about how excited you were, and Saturday you and Noah were gonna hang out, you're gonna watch the game, have a few beers.
Yeah. I didn't even go out there.
And you didn't even go out there. Yeah, we'll talk about that a little later on. Modica, how was your weekend?
The weekend was good. The wife was away. She came home yesterday, so I had a little home alone weekend.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, no, it was. I wound up doing an auction and a draft, so I got myself in a little trouble.
That's called the OC, the open crib, when you have like the open the crib just to yourself.
Oh, so my friends and I just call it the bachelor pad.
That's nice. Yeah.
We call it a bachelor pad when the wife or girlfriend or fiance
is gone.
Is away. It's just you.
It's just
so
you.
So that's what I got. That's what I got this upcoming weekend.
Beer. Oh, you got it.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was pretty quiet, man. I watched just a lot of college basketball, and that was pretty much my weekend. Oh, I went to a wrestling event yesterday, too. There's a wrestling event at the Garden. I went to it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
My buddy hooked me up with free tickets, so I was like, all right, I'm down to hang out. And we stopped by Rockin' Riley's afterwards.
Down the chill. Oh, y'all came over here?
It was across the street, obviously.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense. Y'all, you down the chill?
Yeah, exactly. Whatever that means.
Down the chill. You know, your homeboy called you. Yeah. Like,
the most important question, though, I had for you is, how do you like your seed?
Let's get into that, shall we, Mark? Shall we? It's March, right?
It is.
The madness is upon us. We are here. And I was just telling you before the show, Matt, like, Maryland, the last one of the last two teams to be announced last night, Selection Sunday, had the heart beating a little bit. It had the heart beating a little bit because, like, we were projected to be 7 or 8. And then, like, some of these Big Ten teams were matched, like, very weirdly. Like, Minnesota is a 5 for some reason. Purdue's a 4, as I thought they would be. But, like, Wisconsin being an 8, Michigan State being a 9. I'm like, these teams kind of beat us. And I'm like, oh my God, here we go. And then they wound up being a 6, which you're thrilled about. First round game against Xavier, totally fair. It's one of the teams that they were projected against quite constantly leading up to the tournament. The second round game against Florida State is going to be tough because Florida State's really good. And it's played in Orlando, which doesn't help things at all.
Do you see a possible major upset with the Florida Gulf Coast?
Jeez, I didn't really start at the Florida Gulf Coast. Like,
let's get the majors out the way first.
like, oh, I thought we'd start with Duke, and all of a sudden we start with Florida Gulf Coast.
What's up, Florida State, FG?
No, I see where you're going with this. I just did not like see us starting with the Florida Gulf Coast. All right, hold on.
So you got See, that Xavier matchup right off the rip, you know what I'm saying? That's got
I don't see a major upset of the Florida Gulf Coast, by the way.
But that Xavier matchup right off the top, Maryland has a little heat right there with Xavier. And then, you know, you got Zona at the bottom of that bracket.
Yeah.
VCU is not going to be easy either. So, yeah, and Florida. Florida State is tough, too.
So totally,
there's a lot going on in that bracket.
I don't think it's a bad bracket. I think it's a very fair bracket. Like, I think my bracket of death is on the South.
The South is no joke.
It's brutal. Mm-hmm. That's brutal.
That South, though, is like, it's one of the... That's one of the toughest brackets I've ever seen, really, with the heels in it.
Mm-hmm.
You got Butler in it. Mm-hmm. You got UK in that bracket. A very good UCLA team is in that bracket. Minnesota's not to be slept on. So that I don't remember a bracket being stacked like that. So the Tar Heels want to get back. They got some they got some work to do.
Well, I have a question. If Villanova is the number one overall seed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play at the Garden.
At the Garden, yes. Why is Duke in their bracket? I mean,
so I do have the answer to that. I mean, it's not a total fail-safe, but I do have an answer to that. So Duke, according to the committee, was the number 7 team overall. So what they do for the 1 and 2 seeds, they try to also match them location-wise. So really, what Duke should be... Duke should be in the number 2 overall seeds, you think, given the S curve. Should be the number 2 overall seeds region, which is Kansas. So you should switch Louisville and Duke. However, Duke closer to New York, Louisville closer to Kansas City. Try to hook up the ones and the twos with location.
Well, I heard Coach Calipari last night.
Oh, yes, Kerr. Bracketology.
S-curve.
I saw that.
That was the word of the day.
he was drawing S-curves to Jay Billis. He was awesome.
He was giving Jay Billis some
a
shade.
A lot of crap.
He gave him some shade.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Why wouldn't he? I like Billis, though. He's a good broadcaster. But yeah, obviously, I think another thing with that Elite Eight, you know, Sweet 16 Elite Eight being at MSG, of course, you want that big root in Nova, obviously, in this region. And don't sleep on Vatek either. But then, you know, Duke and Madison Square Garden down the stretch is not bad either.
All right, let's stop jumping around. Let's just hone in on a region. I want to go over all four regions on today's show, make some final four picks. It is, you know, it's March Madness week. So on the show today, we're going to go region by region here over the next 2 hours at some point, break it down, Elite Eight, Final Four, our champion, what we're all thinking. We're also going to get all the baseball injuries, of course, from the weekend, including Ian Desmond, Jason Kipnis, Salvador Perez. You heard a lot of those and Scott's updates.
Yeah.
We'll break it down further. We'll tell you who's replacing them. We'll certainly tell you where you should be drafting them, which I think is a really interesting question. Like, yeah, a guy like Ian Desmond who just broke his hand, where do we want to draft him now? I think that's something we might already have some
data that shows the latest where Ian Desmond went. Matter of fact, I looked that up because I'm pretty sure I can find that.
Okay.
It was a big draft last night that started, I think, around 7, 8 o'clock, right?
Yes, that was the Beat Jason Collette League. Brian was in it.
Yeah,
Derek Pearson, some good comp.
Yeah, and I think that news had already broke by then. So I have seen a draft board for that. So I'll pull that up, and that'll assist us along with our injury coverage, and we can start to match up draft slots with the players that, you know, are going to, you know, be on a disabled list to start the season. And it's also I meant to bring this up on Friday and on Old School. And Friday morning on the Roto Express, I kept forgetting, but it's also the biggest story of last week in, as far as NFL goes, nobody's really talking about it.
You texted me about it, I think, Friday night, and I was like, you're right. People
nobody,
it's kind of just floating on the radar.
Yeah.
And we got some NFL stuff because the Brandon Cooks news broke Friday night. Martellus Bennett broke Friday night. We didn't talk about that. And, of course, Corey's big story, which wasn't the Danny Woodhead signing per se.
Yeah.
It was the fact that Kenneth Dixon's all of a sudden suspended for four games.
Kenneth Dixon, who people were looking at as
a top 10 running back.
I don't want to say top 10, but definitely in that high range and probably a high range RB2, I would say, is suspended for the first four games of the season. So you can look at it as, okay, now you have to stay away. Or you can look at it as a buying opportunity, because I tell you what, Danny Woodhead is not going to play 16 games.
Nor is he going to carry the ball 20 times.
Exactly. So you have to that's going to be something that's interesting to keep an eye on. Maybe he gets a reduction on that. But that's a big story in fantasy football, Matt, that nobody is talking about, this four-game suspension due to performance enhancers for Kenneth Dixon, who at the combine – Harbaugh was just talking about him, like, listen, I'm in love with him. He's a great kid. He's going to continue to get better and stuff like that.
Because he's
going to
take more steroids.
Well, two things. One, I do love Danny Woodhead going to Baltimore. Captain Checkdown, Joe Flacco.
Yep.
I mean, Woodhead out of the backfield, receptions galore. Can he play 16 games? That's the big question. But the other breaking news this weekend that nobody's talking about right now is Corey Philly Brown going to the Bills.
That's right. I like Philly Brown. Come on. And also,
that's a big story right there.
And also, like,
come on.
Also, when it comes to baseball news, you mentioned Corey. We've kind of talked about it a little bit, but Corey Seager's back injury is now an oblique injury, and he's still not playing in games. So we'll get to that also. We have a jam-packed show for you on a Monday. I have a feeling a lot of this, of course, carry over to Tuesday as well here, Corey. So let's start March Madness, though, because it's March.
It's March.
The madness is here, and I want to begin. So let's start at the top region, right? Villanova, the East, New York City, the Garden. Let's start there. Where Villanova, the number one overall seed, you felt like, Corey, you just mentioned it, they didn't get any favors from the committee.
No, they didn't get...
The
defending champs. And, I mean, listen, you got to play it out. You got to beat it. You got to beat it. So the defending champs, they come into... they start in Buffalo, and obviously they may want to make their trip down to the Garden. But I really see them coming out of this 1-16 and obviously this 8-9 pretty unscathed. Now, Wisconsin is going to be tough because that's a team that's kind of gritty. They have a little bit of tournament experience behind them. They always seem to be a tougher playing team. So,
see, the Wisconsin gets by Tech, you're saying?
I think they get by Tech. I like Tech, but I love Tech's head coach.
Buzz Williams. Love Buzz Williams.
But I'm a big Buzz Williams guy, but I think Wisconsin is a little too battle tested.
Okay.
Yeah. Wisconsin in the tournament always seems to step it up. They're just one of those teams. They know how to play well together come tournament time. So, yeah, I think Villanova will have their hands full with them, but they're the team that, I mean, I got to say, I see it, them and Duke finally meeting up in this bracket. I don't see them.
You're jumping ahead here. The bottom of this.
I am jumping a little, but I just that's what's going to be like. Madison Square Garden,
yeah,
like a little Frazier Ali style,
right? You know, that'd be cool if UNC was down there. Had a little rematch in the Garden from last year. That would have been really cool. Of course, the bracket does set up to have a UNC Nova rematch if it does happen. All right, so Corey likes Wisconsin to get by. I do too. Continuing down here, Virginia, UNC Wilmington. I know some people are picking UNC Wilmington early, upset Virginia, and that's goes for the same reason. Virginia can't score. We know that. Virginia has an inability to play offense, while their defense is theoretically one of the best in the nation every single year. Tony Bennett, clearly a defensive coach, but their problem in the tournament, Modica, the last couple of years, haven't been able to score.
Yes, and the other thing, too, why I'm going to take UNC Wilmington, the 5-12 seed. You got to take some 12s. It seems to always work out that way.
No analysis, just take the 12s.
No, I mean, listen, nobody's Joe Lunardi over here. You know what I'm saying? But what I will say is, this Wilmington school is not a school that I really trust.
Okay.
And you kind of look at their tournament profile, and their best wins are, like, non-existent. If you ask me, they wins against East Tennessee State and College of Charleston. They beat them twice. And then I had a homeboy that used to work at UNC Wilmington, and he hated it. So I'm going against him. That's what the tournament is about. You know what I'm saying?
So things like that are the best time of the tournament, right? Like, yeah. I just said I spent all weekend watching college basketball. This guy has a friend of a friend that worked at UNC Wilmington that hates it. So there's no way they win. That logic's just as good as my logic.
Haterade.
But it's true. That's what makes the tournament so awesome, is because logic like that. Like, I've played Judy in a tournament every year since we've been together. I think I've lost as much as I've won, in all honesty.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, my friend went to Wisconsin. I like Wisconsin. Oh, her sister went to UNC. I like UNC.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah. And then the next thing you know, you end up on a roller coaster, you see?
There you go.
And you lose your bet with your girlfriend.
That's exactly what, but that's how it works, because it makes the tournament amazing.
I can't lose to my, well, I don't have one, but when I did, I could not lose, you know? At least I had to win that, you know what I'm saying? I might have one win all year.
But it's got
to
be that.
It's got to be that.
I like Florida against East Tennessee State. That one feels like an easy win for Florida, which I like. SMU versus Providence USC, as we continue in the East bracket here. I think it's a good game. I think that Providence USC, two of the last teams in, they played a play-in game on Tuesday. Is it Tuesday game? They've been playing a game.
I think it's either Tuesday or Wednesday night.
I think this is the Wednesday game.
Yeah.
It may be. Whatever. I think it's the Wednesday game. USC and Providence. SMU's a good team.
Well, didn't SMU... Isn't USC's two big wins this year versus SMU and UCLA?
They are.
So that would be an interesting matchup.
A little revenge game.
Give it up
for Providence getting back into the tournament without their two best players from last year, including Chris Dunn, who was a top five pick in the NBA.
But going back 1 second, Florida, getting the 4 seed. They're kind of reeling right now. How strong are you feeling for them?
I feel very good about their first game. I don't feel good about anything else. Yeah, like you said, they're reeling. They haven't been able to score very well. If they get played Virginia, very tough matchup for them. Continuing down. Now, South Carolina Marquette's really interesting because I think South Carolina's another team, Matt, that's been reeling. Playing Marquette, a team coached by a former Duke assistant in Woj. A tournament, not a surprise, set up Duke versus Marquette. Woj versus Coach K. But Marquette's got to get past South Carolina. Do you know where this game is played, Corey Parson?
This game is in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah, it is.
I think if I'm not mistaken, the name of the arena is the Bilo Center, like the Bilo Supermarkets. Right. I think that's the name of the arena, the Bilo Center.
That just doesn't seem very fair to me.
No, well, but it's a part of it though.
South Carolina is a 7 seed. Like I get Duke being there. I get that UNC's playing there. They're a 1 seed and a 2 seed. South Carolina is a 7 seed and they're playing at home.
Yeah, basically that is a home game for them. But
that's not fair to Marquette. Coming from Wisconsin,
Marquette is lucky to be in, right? Because that's an at large line, right? The ten line.
So 7.
Yeah, that's true too.
Well, for the record, I took Marquette. I'm going for the Road Dogs.
That's okay. It really is a road dog, too. taking Woj versus Frank Martin here. We've already talked about Duke. All right, moving on here. Let's get into the Elite Eight in this region. You said just a moment ago, Modiga, you're saying Duke Nova in a big Ali Frazier fight at the Garden.
Yeah, I think that's what everybody wants to see. I think that's what it's going to come down to. I mean, Nova having a chance to repeat. And
good story.
That is a great story. But if they're going to get there, having a face-off against Duke, I think that's fantastic.
Obviously, that's the big one that everybody wants to see. That's going to be, like you said, the heavyweight fight at Madison Square Garden is kind of what they're setting up for. I just think Baylor is a tough out. I think Baylor's going to be a tough out this year. You know, they had some nice wins this season. West Virginia, who's a very tough team. Iowa State, Louisville, and Oregon. So, I don't want to sleep on Baylor. It depends on how many brackets I do. I do think I will have one bracket where Baylor gets to the Garden.
No, what do you think about that? Guys that make multiple brackets. Like, I have one bracket I'm going to root for. That's it. I don't know what I'm making 17 brackets for.
Oh, you're a sheet of integrity?
Correct. Sheet of integrity. I like that.
I do agree with the sheet of integrity.
Thank you, Matt.
But if I'm doing like a... you know, for say some jelly beans, and there's a tournament going on. Like we used to have one in Staten Island that was fantastic, yeah, right. The Jody's Pool, and we used to just get together, me and a couple of friends, we'd partner up, and we'd do like 100 sheets, and it was just like I said, it was just so much fun. We looked forward to that every year. Pretty much, you had to have them in 4 o'clock Friday. Everybody at the bar, one guy handing in all the sheets. Good time.
I respect that. I have no issue with that. Is that what you're doing? Well,
I don't know if I'm going to do multiple sheets. I may just do a sheet of integrity.
There you go. I also have Duke Nova, by the way, in this East region.
Really, you
going
do?
Yeah, I'm going Duke Nova. I don't trust
Baylor.
How far
you got Baylor?
I think Baylor gets the Sweet 16 and falls to Duke.
You think they got
Duke? I think this one's pretty chalky, actually. I think the East is a pretty chalky region.
Yeah, I have Nova playing UNC Wilmington and Baylor versus Duke.
All right, there you go. All right, that's the East region.
UNC Wilmington going that far.
Yeah,
that's, you know. That's
Cinderella, man.
You gotta have a little fun with it. You know?
Yeah, of course. You know, everybody, you can't go chalk all the way down.
All right, that's the, as I said, that's the East region. We'll come back, talk a little baseball a little bit later on in the show. We'll get to another region here. So stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. To March Madness in just a little bit, but I wanted to get into the baseball first, and that begins, of course, probably with the biggest baseball story of the weekend, which is Ian Desmond getting hit in that hand and breaking it. He's got a fractured left hand, which is going to keep him out, you have to think, for a while. He's not going to be ready for opening day. Start the season with the DL. I assume Mark Reynolds now makes the team, starts at first base yet again, from Colorado. So the obvious question, I'll start with you, Matt. How long do we think Ian Desmond is out with a broken hand?
That's probably going to be a while. It's somebody that before signing with Colorado, I was kind of going to move away from. The fact that he signed with Colorado, I was very interested for that reason. But now with the broken hand, I mean, a hand issue is really bad. Even when he comes back, he's a guy that I don't see myself, you know, really going after now.
It's going to be tough. You know, Matt hit the nail on the head right there. The hand issue, even when he does come back, first of all, it's obviously, you can erase opening day, probably be sometime in May before we see Ian Desmond. And then with the hand issue, you got to think, is that going to zap the power in the long run? So now you got a guy that was going in the top 10 in his position, and do you think he falls out the top 20?
Well, unfortunately for the person in last night's that NFBC draft we're talking about.
You got the board, right?
Yeah.
I don't see it. Where's
he went in the fourth round. The second to last, second to last pick.
Oh, yeah, I see it now.
So, I mean,
it's not a big enough drop.
I got to assume that person didn't hear the news yet. I'm not exactly sure when it, I mean, it broke up earlier than that. So.
Yeah, it did.
So, I mean, that's why you got to be up on, you got to have an app up.
You have to, when you're in a draft, especially, yeah. Listen, let me tell you something. Please, come on, people, don't do this to me. Don't all riled up this morning. Doesn't make a difference what the sport is. When you're in a draft, have the latest news before you go into the draft. Do not embarrass yourself.
But it's not even
have the latest news before you go into the draft.
It's just you're getting it wrong. It's not before you go to the draft. It has to be during the draft. It's very tough, certainly in an auction even more so. But you got to have, whether it's Twitter or Roto World or whatever, you have to have these up. Otherwise, before you pick a player, before you bid on a player, you're going to have to type their name into Twitter, type them into the Roto World search, because you have to make sure you're not drafting a guy with a broken hand.
I don't get it. You know, at some point, it's got to be like, I'm baffled by this. This is ridiculous.
Well, I got three commandments before a draft.
Okay.
It's two Aleve, a cup of coffee.
There you go.
A couple shots.
Shots would be, that's for after. That's the after party. And you have to, like you said, Roto World or whatever.
Yeah.
You just, before the draft, do a quick search. And then maybe as the draft's going on, I mean, you have to be paying attention to everything. But definitely, at least before the draft, check the latest news. And then at some point through it.
Especially when there's live game action going on. You got the WBC going on. You got the Cactus and the Grapefruit League, you know, play going on. If it's people on the field playing, make sure that nothing happened. This is a bad job right here. So you don't really get to see a good you know, you don't really get to see where the drop at is in the draft, you know, for the player, because he goes just about where he was going in this draft.
So let us break it down then. He breaks his hand. You just said that Modiga is going to be out for quite a while. I don't know what that is. Is it 2 months? Is it 3 months? Is it 4 months? I don't know. I mean, this is a question for Dr. A. He'll be on the Old School Fantasy Hour kind of later on this week, so you'll certainly talk to him about that. But broken hand, I think, keeps you out like 2 months, I think, if I remember correctly from previous players. But I'm also worried about hand injuries and wrist injuries sapping a little power, right? Like, it takes a while to re-strengthen that hand.
And with Ian Desmond, even going to Colorado, I wasn't so, let's say, excited about his power. I mean, the last three seasons, he's had over 50% ground ball percentage. So I thought his average would definitely benefit, because that vast Colorado outfield. And he does steal bases. I mean, I think like four of the last 5 years, he does have the 2020 season, which makes him very appealing. So, I mean, this is just heartbreak city for, you know, people that have invested in Ian Desmond already, because as you said, we got to assume it's probably like 2 months. Then he's got to go get the at bats before he can even get back up to the big league level. It's just a real bummer. The good news is most drafts and most big drafts will be occurring in the next 2 weeks.
Where do we take him is the question. Assuming he's out for, let's just say, 2 months. I'm just picking that number out of my ass. I realize that. But let's say this broken hand keeps Ian Desmond out for 2 months. And maybe he's realistically, guys, not totally healthy to the All-Star break. Not fully strength, ready to go, the Ian Desmond you expect. He's going the second round. Last night we saw it. throughout this process, that's where he was going. Corey, where do we take Ian Desmond now?
That's a good question. I'll be honest with you. I would have to get in the draft to see the know the answer right now. I figure if you put a... So I'm looking at the board from last night right now, right?
Yep.
So David Dahl goes in the 10th round.
Okay.
Do you think he goes before or after David Dahl in a 12-team league now?
That's a very good comp there, Corey. I'm saying he's going after. I mean, David Dahl has the back injury. He's supposed to be out too.
Yep.
But I'm going to go with David Dahl returning sooner. And he's a guy that's younger. It's not a hand issue. I mean, a back issue isn't optimal neither. I mean, they're two guys that I'm kind of really shying away. Desmond, since March 1st, if you go to the NFBC ADP, is the 13th outfielder off the board, 48th overall. So for me, Ian Desmond is dropping like 10 rounds easy. Yeah. I mean, I have to
That's
roster
13,
him.
14.
You have to roster him with a short bench. And honestly, once the season starts, it gets tough and tougher keeping that guy there, like waiting and waiting, and you don't know what you're getting back as far as him at the plate.
So when do we take him?
I'm honestly, he's really, unless it's super late, I'm going to drop him to the mid-teens, just off the top of my head.
That's high.
That's deep, man. I mean, I'm really not, I'll be honest with you, I'm really not going after Ian Desmond anymore.
Corey, you're always the one looking for deals. Like, you're always looking at these injuries as a buying opportunity. So we've told me all spring, Modica's taking him in the teens. Like, to me, he's going to go earlier. So he's not going to be on your team, which I think you're okay with, which is why you're saying that. Corey, you're a guy that's going looking for a buying opportunity. He was a second round pick. Where are you taking him now?
The hand injury and what the power is going to be like when he comes back is frightening to me. I'll be honest with you. I would have to say that he's off my board right now also. But, you know, at some point in the draft, you like everybody, Greg.
I know.
I'm going to say, I think I have to agree with Matt in that 13 to 15 range. And he's probably not going to ever drop that low.
No.
And also, team number two, who took Ian Desmond in the 4th round, they also selected David Price in the 7th round. And I know we've been getting good news about Price. I mean, the best news you could possibly...
Still out of the woods yet, though.
Yeah. I mean, even if he throws next week and we still get good reports, in the back of my mind, at some point this season, bad news is coming. So David Price is another guy that's fallen way down my board.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. So Ian Desmond was...
You predicting bad news.
It was bad to begin with. I know they said he has a unique elbow. Great. That's awesome. Yeah. But I can take guys that I really like over him that, as of now, are healthy. And, I mean, I don't really know. I mean, what am I supposed to assume? Say 10 starts in, David Price starts feeling pain again. He's going to get shut down. And if he gets shut down, say for 2 weeks he doesn't touch a ball,
yep,
then they're going to ramp him back up. I just don't want to deal with that. I'm not going through that.
Let me ask you this, Matt. I'm looking at team two who took Price. His rotation is Kluber, Price, Quintana, Cole, Hill. I see on the team.
It's a very good rotation.
I'm trying to see who else I see late. I said Hill, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Bedrosian, Ross, whatever. So do you think he has enough where if he does lose Price that the rotation doesn't take too much of a hit?
I will say, I do like this rotation. It's a good... I mean, look, if you want to play the gambling game, you have to take shots. But personally for me, who's very aggressive, it's not a shot I want to take. But having Kluber as your one, he got Quintana as his three. So he's got guys that every year turn out 200 innings.
Yeah.
So right there, that philosophy, I'm down with. I'm good with that. Garrett Cole, I love this year. And the reports last week that he was, you know, living 95, 96, I'm on that. I really like that. And Rich Hill, I'm going to take the shot on Rich Hill.
Yeah.
Rich Hill has just been too good.
You convinced me on him, too.
He's just been too good not to. And it wasn't like he had arm issues. It was a blister issue last year. The guy I don't like, the guy I will not draft this season, is the guy he took in the 10th round, who was Tony Watson, who I have losing that job.
Yeah.
I know everybody's picking Daniel Hudson. My dark horse is Juan Nicasio.
You saw that too?
Who since the All-Star break, post-All-Star break on, led all relief pitchers in strikeouts with 63. And I think he's in the right role. They tried making him a starter. That didn't work. But he's a guy, one inning plus, much better.
Ian Desmond, one of the major injuries from the weekend. Another one is, like we said, one of these, like, who we see here that was lingering, and that's Jason Kipnis. The bomb dropped for Jason Kipnis this weekend. We'll figure out where to draft him next on the Roto Experts. Back here on the Roto Experts in the morning, Corey Parson, Matt Bodica, Greg Sussman with you on a Monday morning. The madness is here, back into March Madness in just a few. But Ian Desmond, the big injury. Both Bodica and Parson say they will be taking Desmond in the teens, which means they're probably not going to get him. So for your purposes, they are out on Ian Desmond. But let's get to two other guys, two middle infielders that I think are in a similar spot right now. That's Jason Kipnis and Corey Seager. Start with Kipnis. Kipnis already ruled out for opening day. He's got this knee soreness. Is that what this is?
I believe it's a shoulder.
Oh, shoulder soreness. Shoulder. Okay. So he got shoulder soreness. I wrote this down wrong. And he's going to be fine. Taking it easy this spring. Played a lot of baseball last year. Oh, just a little sore. Totally good for opening day. Now he's not close. And I don't know if he's not ready for opening day means he'll be ready a week later, 2 weeks later, a month later. What are you hearing, Matt?
I thought it was just me.
I got your back, bro.
From the beginning of spring training, when they said they were going to arrest him, that was an ominous sign to me. And there's so many good second basemen right now. I don't have to fool around with Jason Kipnis. I mean, maybe it's a great deal that winds up happening, a buying opportunity, but it's things I don't want to deal with. I mean, I'd rather have a Gene Segura who could play second and short. You know, Ian Kinsler, who just does it every year. Kipnis, you know, I like Jason Kipnis. And I would, if he was healthy, but I'm staying away right now. He's going to drop down my board severely. Because I don't, it's a shoulder. Shoulder, hand, wrist.
Power.
No bueno for hitters.
He will not be ready. The exact details is a soreness in his right rotator cuff. He was designated a hitter last week. He wasn't feeling good. Now he's going to be shut down for two more weeks. I don't know, Corey. I don't like this. Because it's like, at least with a guy like Albert Pujols, right, who came back over the weekend, the hitting was always fine. It was playing first base. It was running. And I understand the shoulder's a little bit different. It's obviously a different injury. But the fact that he couldn't play designated hitter, much less throw the baseball, right? We haven't even talked about him throwing the baseball yet. And it is that right hand, that right rotator cuff. So he's going to have to throw. Corey, this sounds like it's going to be out a while.
Yeah, it does look that way. Another player I don't think that we see till sometime in May being Kipnis. And Matt hit the nail on the head. Second base is so deep, it's almost like you can erase him off your board. But then when he comes back, you know, now, Matt, if you start talking to him a little bit later on, you give him a good round drop, and you think maybe that it's a, you can get him as a middle infielder. Would you go that far, or are you just off the board?
I would go that far. I mean, it's all league dependent too. If you have the DL spot,
yeah,
he's a guy. If he's dropping significantly, you can take, park him in your DL, and then you could see. I just with hitters. I mean, rotator cuff is never good. And as we talked about the hand, the wrist, these are things that you scare me, are pretty frightening when you're dealing with hitters. Like, there's many things with pitchers, shoulder, elbow, that are going to throw up the red flags. This is throwing up a major red flag.
Let me ask you this, though. When it's kind of like, I want to try to equate it. With a player like Kipnis, do you get out all together and say, you know what, somebody else's problem is not really a good buying opportunity? Or do you kind of, because do you feel like, okay, even if I can get him as a middle, it's still guys there that's going to be playing and it will probably have a spot in my lineup to where it's not even a point to fool with this guy?
For me right now, until I see where his market develops, I'm going to stay away. Then I'll gauge the market. If I feel it's the right opportunity, I'll take him. But the thing that scares me too is they said he just needed a little rest, and then he was DHing, and now he's shut down again. So this is kind of telling me it's a hell of a lot more serious.
Where you smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
To me, just to answer your question, you ask me another question. I'm out on Jason Kipnis. Yeah. Man. Like, there's a lot of second basemen. We've talked about it all spring. There's a million of these guys. He's incredibly deep from the top half to the bottom half. I don't need to mess with Jason Kipnis' sore rotator cuff. That's not something I want to get
involved in. Yeah, I'll throw in one guy that I'll take much later that I really like is Logan Forsythe.
Yeah.
You know, I get
25
him,
home runs, top of the Dodgers order.
I get him, yeah, much later. He's batting leadoff in a really good lineup, so.
Let me ask you guys this. This question is kind of for both of you. When you look at the disabled list spot, do you think leagues should have a DL?
I do. I think, like, injuries are just a lot of the time, not always, it's unlucky, mm-hmm. right? Yes, if you take a guy that's always injury-prone, you have it coming. I understand that. Like, you take Troy Tulowitzki.
John Carlos Stanton. Matt Harvey.
These guys are hurt every year. But if you take a guy like Ian Desmond, who just gets hit in the hand, and all of a sudden he has a broken hand, totally not one of these injury-prone things. He got unlucky.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't be totally screwed wasting a bench spot on that all year. I have no issue with the DL spot.
Interesting. Matt?
I mean, I'm fine with the DL spot. I think people should play in the leagues that they feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
Right now,
diplomatic answer.
Yeah, no, but it's the truth. Like, everybody talks about, I hate wins. Then don't play in a wins league. Play in a quality starts league, if that really bothers you so much. For me, like, the NFBC, even the 12-team or the 15-team, there is no DL spot. Yeah. So that's how I approach it is, why am I going to park a guy on my bench, even though he has really good upside, but he has a significant injury for a hitter that I don't know. I mean, am I getting 60% of Jason Kipnis when he comes back with the shoulder? I mean, shoulder issues are just so. I mean, is he going to be compensating a little? I don't know. For me, I'm staying away until I see what the new market develops.
Let me say this about the designated hitter spots. I'm not 100% against them. I would say I'm more don't want to
designated hitter or DL.
I mean, excuse me, DL. Excuse me, Craig.
Okay.
I'm just getting started.
Right?
It's not even damn 9 o'clock yet. It's Monday morning. So the designated, you know, well, the DL, disabled list spot. If you do have them in your league, which I prefer to play without them, if you do have them in your league, I think every team should only have one slot. And I think the rules need to be very clear and defined with how a player is allowed to go into that DL spot.
Well, I think they are. So I play in a league with two DL spots.
Okay.
Okay. The rules are if you go on the DL, you're eligible for the DL.
What about the 7-day concussion DL?
That's a DL.
I'll say that's a DL.
I'll say one thing about the DL. I think maybe it's more of a Yahoo kind of thing, or certain maybe even ESPN does it too. Certain guys go to the DL and, like, you have a couple of days to keep them on before. Before, like, I don't want to say a couple of days, but say you put them on, and then when they come off the DL, you can still park them on there for a couple of extra days.
Yeah, that's not right.
So when the player is active,
he should be active. Mm-hmm. Because really, what people are, they use that DL spot to stash players.
I do.
I don't know if I agree with that. I don't like stashing of players. I need them to be hurt.
So, how it works, and I know everyone hates Yahoo, but that's where I play, and I have my DL spot. You're able to stash in there. They don't allow you to pick a guy up off the waiver wire if you have a healthy guy in your DL. You have to make the move. I think a better way to do that, so you're not stashing a healthy guy on there, you're not allowed to make any changes until, like, you're not allowed to put, like, your starting pitcher in a daily league. You're not allowed to put your starting pitcher in until you take the healthy guy off the DL. So you're not stashing a healthy guy there. If you have a DL spot and you're lucky enough, knock on wood, not that the table's wood, but you have an empty DL spot and you want to stash a guy that hasn't been drafted, that an Anthony Desclafani who has an elbow injury now on the DL, I don't have an issue with it. It doesn't bother me. But I agree that healthy guys should not be there.
Yeah, it's a tricky little thing. And like I said, if you're in a league with a DL spot, I'm cool with that. That's fine to play that way. Manage it to your advantage. Take advantage of every rule in your league. That's the way you should be playing.
And that makes sense.
You know.
And I want to prevent people from taking advantage of that.
Understandably. Let me ask you guys this. So Jason Kenton is shut down with right rotator cuff soreness. That's going to keep him out through opening day. Who knows how much longer. Corey Seager seems to be heading that direction. I don't want to speculate on anything. He had a back injury to keep him out a couple days. Then it kept him out a couple more days. Then it kept him out a week. Then it kept him out over a weekend. Then all of a sudden, it wasn't a back injury anymore. It was an oblique injury. And as everybody knows, oblique injuries make you go on the DL, and you miss about a month with them. A month would put Corey Seager right up against opening day. Has he dropped down your draft board at all, Matt?
He's dropped down, I have to say. It's a shame, because Corey Seager, to me, a healthy Corey Seager entering 2017 is a 30 home run, 300 batter. I mean, the one thing he doesn't give you is steals. Maybe he gives you five this year, I'd maybe give him. But this kid just looks the part. The stats back him up. I liked everything about him. But in the second round, I have to have somebody that's fully healthy right now. Well, are you really going to take that shot? Let me ask you, would you take that shot right now in the second round, Corey Seager?
Over who? That's what it depends upon. Give me another name.
Okay, Sterling Marte.
I'm taking Corey Seager. I think I would take the shot. You know what? So I think I would take the shot on Corey Seager, because a lot of it is just us questioning, like, everything.
But as you said, it looks like,
and let's go the wrong way.
It looks like an oblique. He's out a month. Say, you know, that's a possibility. I hope not. As a fan of baseball, watching him play last year, the kid is the real deal. And somebody him, Carlos Correa. I mean, these kids, I mean, I'm all in on Carlos Correa.
Right.
That kid is, and what he's doing now in WBC, unfortunately, I wish he wasn't doing so well.
At some point, I want to talk about the WBC from this weekend, too, because this weekend was kind of wild on some baseball stuff. I gotta draft a healthy player.
Okay. But you're the one always looking for deals. Fine opportunities.
Well, how about this? I agree you should be looking for deals and price points, and that's great. But the first three rounds, you really need to build that foundation.
Play it square.
You know, like... I want health. I want to know the guy's healthy now. The guy can get hurt. I totally get that. But let's just look at Brian last night. His first three picks. Okay, he had the number one pick. So I had Mike Trout. Easy. But Freddie Freeman, who I love this year. Francisco Lindor. And right now, as of today, knowing that it might be an oblique and he might be missing a month, it's hard for me not to take Francisco Lindor over Corey Seager. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I get bit because Corey Seager, you know what? 2 weeks, he's fully healthy. Love him. But Lindor is going to give me maybe 13, 15 homers, 30 stolen bases, and a really good average.
Yeah, I agree. It is an excellent offensive start from Brian's team last night in this Jason Collette league. But I'm just looking at it like I like it, Greg, when you have an opportunity, but that top three rounds, that's not an opportunity. Good young player, and I wish that he was out there, because I wouldn't mind having a couple shares myself. But at this point of it, I don't think you can do it unless you see a double his round drop.
Well, just to make the point here, like we're talking about Seager, who I love, but look at Max Scherzer, who was the number two pitcher on the board all offseason. Now, and he was going like 10th overall. I've seen him go third. He's now going in this draft.
Middle of the second.
Yeah, like, well, he was the fifth pick. He went after Bumgarner, after Syndergaard. And I think right now that's right. If he was fully healthy, he's the clear number two. He's trying to catch Kershaw, which is a tall task. But he's probably the closest guy to him. So, I mean, I'm going to have an issue with that knuckle. I wasn't worried about it 2 weeks ago. But it's still an issue. He's still doing these grips.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Take a break, come back, talk about one more major injury from the weekend, and that is AJ Pollock, who hurt himself on a home run. We'll talk about that next. The next major injury, or there's two more major injuries, I should say, from the weekend. One, AJ Pollock. He hurt his groin, a little soreness there, after hitting a home run. Are we concerned?
I'm a little concerned. I'm a AJ Pollock believer. I've invested in him already. I really like him. I hear the stories of the new managers. Not a big fan of running. That's starting to also
make a little nervous.
Make me a little nervous. Pollock, they say it's precautionary, but that's never a good sign right there. And, you know, it's kind of, but it all depends. Maybe this one might be a really good buying opportunity if he proves the next 2 weeks that he's healthy. Because I do like AJ Pollock.
Corey.
Yeah, I agree. I think, listen, most drafts are not going to take place till Friday, Saturday. You know, we have been doing the work week, so we'll get more information about these situations and can better make a more informed decision. But right now, I think Pollock, I'm willing to take a shot on Pollock because the talent is just so real, and a healthy season of Pollock is definitely an advantage. So it's not anything that he struggled. Well, he did struggle with it last year with the groin, and that's kind of what's scary, but I will watch him throughout the course of the week, and if he falls, I'm jumping on him. Last night, he went in the fifth.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. Look at the guys. Giancarlo Stanton went in the fifth.
It hasn't been Mike in a while.
Yeah. I mean, Giancarlo's another guy I love.
They were very conservative in this draft last night.
Yeah, this was a more, I'll agree with that, Corey, but like Nelson Cruz, who I've seen go side by side with Stanton, I'm taking Nelson Cruz this year, no doubt, over Stanton. I know Stanton has the bigger upside, but Nelson Cruz, 40 homers, 3 straight seasons, his average has been good. I know he's older, but until I see him break down, and he looked pretty damn good this weekend.
He hit that big home run the other night. He was pumped up, too.
Yeah, that was quite the scene in Miami.
Yeah, it was.
The WBC has really brought it this year, except for that abomination that occurred yesterday between the Dominican Republic and Colombia when they went to the 11th inning and they did the new rule last night.
Yeah.
Honestly, I
know the purists were upset. You didn't throw the TV out the window?
I watched a little of it, and it just became like an arcade kind of style thing. I said, you know what?
Speaking of WBC, what did you think of the Lindor home run and then the look back at the catcher with the bad throw? Was that too much?
It's, well, see, the problem, I can see all this excitement and exuberance and everybody's in on it. I can see it in a short tournament like this.
Yeah.
But over the course of a season, if you're pulling all these antics, it's going to get old pretty fast and people are going to get thrilled.
It was pretty pronounced, hit the big home. I mean, it was an absolute bomb that he hit. But then the bat, you know, not really the bat flip, the bat throw and the stare at the catcher, I'm like, this kid right here is ready for some action. You know what I'm saying? You try that with some of these pitchers in the majors, it's gonna be high and tight.
I think Javi Baez had a boss move when he hit that bomb. Instead of doing the bat flip, instead of looking back, he kind of just took a couple of steps, dropped the bat nicely, and did his thing.
Yeah.
One of the major injuries from the WBC, though, Salvador Perez went down with a knee injury that looked very, very scary at the beginning. It just looks like it kind of bruised. Like it's fine. It's sore. Inflammation, they're calling it. So basically, it's a knee problem. He's fine.
Yeah, he's
fine. And it was his teammate that hurt him.
The backup. I think it was
Chibutera.
I think it was Rudy Gamble on Twitter. I got to give him the props for this. He said it reminded him of the Seinfeld episode with the Rochelle when Bette Midler gets hurt at home plate and the backup steps in. I got a kick out of that.
That is crazy. Now that didn't look good, but it looks like it's going to be a relatively minor injury. But you know, you don't want to see nobody go out there and get hurt in the WBC. But that was pretty scary for the Royals, and that's going to be some shenanigans in the locker room.
Could we talk about what we mentioned at the break? Like Andrew Miller, who was all world last year, pitched deep. I mean, he was doing multiple innings. Cleveland went to game 7, that great game. And they're so invested this year. They have such a great team. He got his elbow cleaned out. Why is he pitching right now in the WBC? I personally don't get it.
Yeah. And he's been giving up some long balls in his last couple of appearances and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting to see if that affects his draft stock. But they really got after him on Saturday night with that, you know, obviously Cruz with that big home run. Even when that score was 5-0, you kind of felt like this was not going to be, this is not over.
Yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I have to say I'm pretty impressed of what's been going on in the WBC.
There you go. WBC, it's been fun. The Jew Crew, you're going to lose that.
Jew Crew?
I don't know, man. They're down 10-1.
Oh, they're down 10-1?
Oh, they're playing right now. I didn't know they started. Yeah,
Florio told me.
Yeah. So they're playing.
I don't know. Oh, okay. No, they're playing the Netherlands. I didn't know.
Oh,
that.
They're playing it's playing Venezuela. It's gotten real now. Yeah.
Yeah. Mexico's pissed off by that. Did you read this? They won last night, and they won by a bigger margin than the Dominicans, than the Venezuelans have won. And yet, they're out because of, like, a weird tiebreaker.
Wow.
It sucks.
Uh oh.
All right. We'll come back. We're breaking down another region. March Madness, 1 hour down, one more to go. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Two of the Roto Experts in the Morning is live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, Matt Modica hanging out with us. My name is Greg Sussman. Breaking down the bracket, giving you all the news fit to handle. This hour we'll break down more March Madness. We'll get into a little football as well. And then send you into the OGs. What's up?
No, I'm watching the fight. Joey Logano and Kyle Busch. He just walked right on him and just snuffed him right in the face. Oh, this dude right here just kick him? This is the good old boys is getting after it out in Vegas, Greg. How about this? Look at this. Look at these thugs.
Rednecks gone wild.
Wow. Wow. Good NASCAR fight. You know what I'm saying, Greg? I love it. Get the blood boiling, you know what I'm saying? We got NASCAR fights, we got countries throwing bats at each other, and then we got March Madness too. I can't wait. It was a little bit chippy in some of the action from the conference tournaments too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It was tough.
Very emotional, you know what I'm saying, Greg?
Yep.
Greg, I know you want to talk about the Terps.
I'm not up to the Terps yet.
I want to talk about the Terps.
Saving the Terps. Call the grand finale.
Yo, okay.
Save the
Terps. The build-up.
Exactly. Now you're with me. Let's go to the Midwest, gentlemen. Let's head out to KC.
Oh, the Midwest.
Yes, sir.
KC. Where's this played at? This is Kansas City, Missouri. I don't know the name of this
arena.
Where the regional is going
to
be at.
I don't know either, to be honest with you.
Where Tulsa. Okay, I know Tulsa. They're at Tulsa every year. Milwaukee is where the Bucks play.
Yep. Sacramento's is obviously Arco.
Arco. Right. Indianapolis is
Is it where the Pacers play?
Is it Canseco?
Probably Canseco.
Probably so.
Which when I was younger, I thought it was named after Jose Canseco.
No, my goodness.
It's not.
But then the regional is played in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm down with that.
How come Dayton always gets to play in games? Is there a reason for that?
Dayton must have. Doesn't Dayton have some kind of college basketball history?
Does I'm assuming. Them?
I think that's what it
but
is.
But like the Naismith Hall of Fame is not there.
No, I don't know what it is. They travel well too.
Maybe Dayton's just like in the middle of things. It's just Ohio, so it's kind of in the middle of things. Maybe we that's go west, what it is. We can go east, we can go anywhere from Ohio.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
All right.
This is a good looking region right here too, though.
All right, we start at the top here. Kansas, the number 2 overall seed in this tournament. How good are they, Corey?
Kansas is a team that I expect to be there to the end. This is a team I think has a very good shot to be a Final Four team later on. This is a good team that has a good shot to be a champion. Well-coached team, obviously very good in the postseason. They got the dogs up front. I think depth could be a little bit of a problem. I'm looking at when up until they get to the Sweet 16. Michigan State is always tough. But other than that, I think they can roll this region. Well, it's this top side of it, the Tulsa region. Yeah, the Tulsa and Milwaukee side of it.
I kind of agree, Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Yep.
But if Michigan State which I have beating Miami, which would be a really good game. Because, as Corey just said, Michigan State just always seems
to win. They're
ready.
They're ready. They're coached up.
That they are. That game could present some problems, but I think Kansas is just too strong.
Yeah, I think that Michigan State-Miami game is a really good game. It's one of the games in the first round I'm really looking forward to. Yeah. Both teams are very well coached. Obviously, you have the Izzo in Michigan State. Jim Larranaga is a really good coach in Miami. Obviously, led George Mason in the Final Four.
Queens.
Is Queens get you?
He's from Queens. Jim Larranaga's from Queens. Yep.
Okay. He's a good coach, too. So Miami's well coached. This is going to be a good game between those two teams. I think Iowa State versus Nevada. It's 5-12. Iowa State always scares the hell out of me, to be honest with you. Monte Morris is good, though.
Even though it's 5-12, I feel pretty comfortable in Iowa State.
Yeah, I took Iowa State. My upset is Vermont taking down Purdue.
Why is that?
They're a tough little team. You got to pick a dog. Purdue.
You don't have to be anything.
Well, I like to go for some dogs. I think Vermont could give them a problem. I do have Iowa State taking Nevada, so I'm going Vermont there over Purdue.
I like Purdue a lot. Purdue's actually one of the teams I'm very comfortable with. I've seen a lot of them in the Big Ten. They won the Big Ten outright this season, and they boast the player of the year in Caleb Swanigan. They are a very, very good team, Purdue. I have to read more about Vermont, honestly. Mm-hmm. I know Vermont's well-coached. I don't know much more about them. I just know Purdue... They've been good all year. They should have been good, and they were. I know they scare you in the tournament. You know, Matt Painter is not exactly Coach K here, but I like Purdue. I'm comfortable with Purdue. I'll probably have Purdue in my Sweet 16, to be honest with you. Let's get to the bottom of the bracket. You got
Sacramento.
In Sacramento, you got Creighton and Rhodey. Rhode Island wins the A-10, and they get in Danny Hurley's squad. They've been on the precipice of the tournament for a while. But what do we think here, Creighton and Rhode Island? Corey?
Yeah, listen, Creighton is one of the, is another team that I really like. Now, these I like both of these teams, honestly. I think Rhode Island was a team that I could have had a little bit of a sleeper behind, but I just think Creighton, especially with the they have the advantage, obviously, out there on the West Coast. I think they're going to be a little bit too tough to take down, but I do think Rhode Island makes it very interesting.
I think Rhode Island's that scrappy team that's gonna make some noise. I think they'll win two games.
Oh, you got them knocking Creighton out.
I can see that.
I just think Creighton is so battle tested that I think Creighton can hang out and hang around to the end and be there. I mean, and pull it off rather. But I don't think Rhode Island rolls over, not at all. And I think you guys agree.
You said you have Rhode Island on the Sweet 16, which means you haven't been in Oregon.
Yeah.
And Oregon's a team that I talked about on my Facebook Live last night. I went live on Facebook with a little March Madness breakdown for my apartment.
Nice, nice.
And
I love that, Greg.
Thank you. I was just trying to promote the Roto Experts. I advertised our show.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, good. I was trying to promote us.
Thank you.
Maybe you do a little more like that, you know.
Well, I'm I'm doing the best I can, Greg.
I have Oregon going to the Final Four. And you have them out here in the second round. I know they have lost their big man, Derek Boucher, to a torn ACL. He actually finished the game playing with his knee injury. He's a monster loss. Lost in the semifinals of the Pac-12 Conference Tournament. They wound up losing the finals to Arizona. But Oregon battle-tested. They were in the Final Four, or just on the outside of the Final Four, in the Elite Eight last year, losing to Buddy Hield and Oklahoma. Returned to everybody. Dylan Brooks is back there. This is the past two-year stretch in Oregon history. As I said, I have them going to the Final Four. You have them out in the second round. Why is that?
I just think it's a team that, you know, Rhode Island... I think people are sleeping on. I think they're very well coached. I think they're going to present problems. And I think Oregon, in this bracket, it's a very tough bracket. I got Louisville. I like Rick Pitino come tournament time. And with the hardest thing, too, is look at Michigan. Look what Michigan just did. They were really impressive. There's too many good teams for me here. I'm not going with the Pac-12 team.
So, one of the reasons I'm going with the Pac-12 team, I'm all in on the Pac-12. I think that was one of the best conferences in the nation. I love Oregon, I love Alabama, I'm sorry, Arizona, and I love UCLA. You'll get to those three in just a moment. With Dylan Brooks and this Oregon team, they are really good. And I get Pitino, better coach, Louisville, veteran-tested team. I understand all that. And a lot of people have Louisville in that Final Four. I mean, you look at all these experts... People have Duke versus UNC with Louisville winning that region in that Midwest. But I'm not in on Louisville. I think Oregon's a better team.
Greg, I don't think nobody's rolling with you on that one.
No one's rolling with me. That's okay.
Yeah, I think it might be on the island on this one right here. Okay. I just look at Louisville and the level of competition. Now, this is not your classic Louisville team. I think they've put better teams in the tournament. But I think they've done enough, and I think they can get by Oregon. Now, I could be biased. I don't watch Pac-12 ball. I don't watch Pac-12 basketball. That's like fine. That's not college basketball to me.
It is for sure.
It is, but I don't know. I just
UCLA
can't get
is
it
is
no yo UCLA I, is man. Yeah I get that.
I think what Arizona's doing is pretty damn good right now.
We'll get to them.
So I mean the Pac-12 like shit.
They're legit, man.
But I just there's other teams. I think it's just too tough.
All right, that's fine. Can Michigan? I know you guys like Louisville, but so you think the Michigan run ends here in the first weekend?
I think so. I think it's like we talk about these well coached teams that do it year in year out. The Michigan States, the Louisville.
Michigan's there though. John Beilein's a great coach.
Michigan's done, I guess, really good. But I think Patino, I think it's going to be a tough game. I think that's going to be one of the better games. Michigan-Louisville,
yep.
If that works out to be. I think that's going to be really, really good. But I'm going with Louisville to take it down.
All right. Nobody has any feelings on Oklahoma State?
No, not particularly.
I'm just going to ride the wave with Michigan.
One more game for Michigan. Okay. Gentlemen, who do you have getting the Elite Eight and winning this region? Corey, I'll start with you.
The Elite Eight. I don't want to go too chalky on this one. I do like Louisville and Kansas.
I don't want to go too chalky. But I'll pick the one in the two seed.
I'm picking the one in the two seed.
For the second region in a row.
But listen, our boys, Iona. How about that? Iona's in this region. You know what? Give me KU, Iowa State. Louisville, yeah, Michigan. Give me Creighton.
Give you Creighton. All right, fair enough. Who's your Elite Eight? I mean, Corey has a Sweet 16. That's fine.
Because I'm still processing.
I'm going Kansas, Louisville, and
chalk two in a row.
It's going to get a little different as we continue on.
All right, I'm going Kansas and Oregon. As I said, I'm sticking with my guys. I'm going with the Ducks. Quack quack into the Final Four. There you go.
Really, all the way to the four, huh?
All the way to the Final Four. Stick it with him. I'm a Pac-12 guy. That will continue.
You get to stay up that late to watch Pac-12 basketball?
No.
Oh,
but there's been some. Listen, I don't sit and watch Pac-12 basketball. Yeah. We have way too much stuff to do if we sit and watch Pac-12 basketball. But I've seen some.
If you enjoyed
me. I do. I've seen a bunch of games. I've watched all the Arizona-UCLA games this year. There's been three of them. They've all been freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I watched the Pac-12 championship a little bit. Oregon and Arizona. I've seen some other Oregon games. They're good. I mean, UCLA went to Kentucky. We'll get into them in just a second. Pac-12 is good. No, don't underestimate them.
I do have faith in the Pac-12, as we will see coming up.
Let's get into the South region then, gentlemen, which brings us to, as I said before, in my opinion, this is the region of death. You got North Carolina 1, Kentucky 2, UCLA 3 here, and those are three big-time programs, big-time historic programs, and they're all in the South, all headed to the FedEx Forum in Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis 10. This is the region. This is the land of the Tar Heels right here. So obviously they are a big root, number one seed, and then you got Kentucky sitting down at the bottom. Now I would be selfish if I say I did not want to see a UNC Kentucky game. I think that's a good game in this region also. But I'm looking at Wichita, and I think Wichita is a team that can make some noise. Now, will they get past UK? More than likely, no.
They have done it before, though.
You're right. They have done it before. And I wish they could have been in a different part of the bracket, but I do like Wichita. I think they play well, but I don't think they can get past UCLA and Cincinnati. I like UCLA, and I told you about 2 weeks ago, Greg, how much I like UCLA. I think I'm going to go Cincinnati to get with UK down at the bottom of it. And then when you look at top, the Greenville, the Bilo Center, and Milwaukee region, give me a UNC Butler coming out of that one. So UNC Butler, and then give me Cincy and UK.
So for me, I'm gonna go a little bit deeper here.
I like I'm a Butler supporter.
Wichita State as a 10 seed, 6.5 point favorites over Dayton that first round. Again, 10 seed versus a 7 seed here. And I would love Wichita State even more if they weren't facing Archie Miller in that first round. It was proven, Sean Miller's little brother, to be a really, really good head coach, getting his team in the tournament seemingly each and every year. So I like Dayton and Wichita, so I'm not really sure which way to lean there. I know people are kind of penciling Kentucky, Wichita State one more time for the third time. And what do you think, Matt, of this tournament always giving us these little storylines, like Woj versus his old coach, Wichita State versus Kentucky again? Even the first round names, Kentucky versus Northern Kentucky. Like, I don't know. It seems like, give me that S-curve. Give me that Calipari S-curve.
I'm down with the S-curve, but I'm also, I can buy the stories. Let's play it up. Let's have some fun. It's, for me,
it's a television event.
Yeah. For me, these first couple of days is really like, that's the pinnacle for me. I just really enjoy when we see the a 3 seed fall to a 14 seed or something like that. That's just that's the epitome of college sports, of the tournament. But I have Wichita State taking on Kentucky. Maybe it's just because I want to see that.
Sure.
And want to keep that storyline going. But I do have Kentucky playing UCLA.
That would be a goodie if it does happen.
That's what I am a UCLA fan, so just as a disclaimer.
You can have bias in the NCAA tournament, yeah.
But as Corey mentioned before with the North Carolina Butler, that's another one I really want to see.
Yeah.
I mean, Butler.
It's going to be a good game.
Butler
North Carolina
has not
Butler.
Disappointed us.
Butler, they come to play.
I think Butler's going to get eliminated by Middle Tennessee State.
Really?
Nice. Throwing.
I like that, Greg.
Throwing it down.
Yeah. How about that?
I like Middle Tennessee State guys this year. They are really, really good. 4 losses on the year. They are not just your typical mid-major. They can play fast. They can play. They can score the basketball.
Can they play with North Carolina?
I don't think that. I'm not going that far.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's where the party stops.
That's where the party
stops. He's going pretty bold enough, though.
No, I like it. I like it.
Let's go to the bottom of the bracket a little bit. I like Cincinnati to win that first game. Yep. Isn't that a typical first-round game? Cincinnati, Wake Forest, Cincinnati, K-State. Like, how many times have we had that game in the NCAA tournament? We talked about Dayton, Wichita State. Talked about Kentucky a little bit. For me, I'm going a little different than you, Corey.
Who's NKU?
NKU, where is that?
Who's playing? Who's Kentucky
Northern
playing?
Kentucky.
Northern Kentucky.
Northern Kentucky, okay.
Northern Kentucky, yeah.
Where's the MEAC school at?
The MEAC, who won that?
I'm not sure.
Oh, God.
I'm just looking for the MEAC school. I don't see the MEAC school. They would be like a 15 or something.
Yeah, yes. So this year, the MEAC was won.
They didn't send nobody to the tournament?
Well, sure they did. Hampton's going to the CBI.
Huh?
I said Hampton's going to the CBI.
Really?
Yeah.
They got an at-large bid?
Yeah,
that's the first time that's ever happened.
In the CBI?
Huh?
In the CBI?
Yeah.
Alright. North Carolina Central wins MEAC men's basketball.
UNC, they're not in the tournament.
They certainly are. They're in the first four.
Oh, they one of the, oh, they're up here. No, where they at, Greg? I don't see them.
NC Central, right there. Wednesday, the right, we play UC Davis.
There you go, right
Wednesday.
There
you go. Sorry.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I always do the MEAC school like that.
Getting back on track.
That was
here.
The biggest upset in tournament history, though.
Yeah.
Hampton, when Hampton knocked off.
That was
off.
One of them.
Yeah.
It's one of them. Lehigh versus Duke is another huge one to me.
Yeah. Yep. Obviously.
Why?
Because it's Duke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. To me, this goes down to, I think North Carolina, Kentucky, UCLA, they all get there. I think they all get into the Sweet 16, as I said, Middle Tennessee State's my other team. So UNC goes to the Elite Eight, which leads me to, I think, the game of the tournament, which is UCLA versus Kentucky. UCLA went into Rupp earlier this year, and they beat Kentucky. Different Kentucky team, different UCLA team. And I think they do it again.
I'm with you. I got UCLA moving on versus North Carolina. And that should be another hell of a game. I mean, this is just such
this a hell of a region.
I mean, you can really just watch this region right here, especially with Middle Tennessee in it. You know what I mean? You can really just, and Wichita in it. So you can really just focus in on this region right here. And this is good enough right here. But I think, you know, the dream matchups are, of course, in my opinion, would be the UNC Butler and Kentucky and UCLA.
So basically chalk.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it's set up, but I do have Cincinnati sneaking in there.
I got North Carolina and UCLA.
As do I. Who are the answers, Matt?
I have UCLA coming out.
As do I. And Corey?
Tar Heels. Yeah, I'm going to Tar Heels. You can be double attorney because we about to have Maryland in the final.
Hey, we're going to take a break. We're going to get some football. We'll wrap up the bracket cut off a little bit later on. It's Radio Experts in the Morning here in the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning. We're back. And we missed a lot of NFL news. It happened Friday night. And the big drop, which we were waiting for, was the Saints finally rid themselves of Brandon Cooks. And they were desperate, Corey, for some reason, to get rid of this dude.
He had that big roster bonus coming up, but that roster bonus was not like $7 billion. It was $790,000 roster bonus at the New Orleans Saints. They can afford that. I think I look to situation where they got to pay this young man at some point. He's still working on his rookie contract, so maybe they're looking ahead to that. Obviously, they like the development of Michael Thomas. But I hate to say this, though, but I keep pointing back to that when they had that big win in the regular season, mm-hmm. and they scored those 38 points, and Brandon Cooks didn't have one catch.
Against Greg Williams.
Yeah, exactly. And Brandon mm-hmm. Cooks didn't have one catch, and he complained about it.
That was it.
I think at that point, they might have said to themselves, you know what? We got this good young wide receiver. We got this elite dynamic passing game anyway. This is a chance to get rid of this kid. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's maybe what they were possibly looking at doing. So I think that's why the Saints got rid of him.
What about the signing of Ted Ginn Jr.?
Ted Ginn Jr. is not – he can do what Cooks did in that offense. You know, I just think that Cooks is a better player than him.
Yeah, no. Cooks is a better player, but Ted Ginn Jr. now inserted into the Saints offense. I mean, I got to think there were times that he was, this boomer bust guy that – every once in a while would go crazy in Carolina. But now, put into New Orleans, what's the outlook you have for him? Are you excited at all? Not excited?
I don't see him on any of my teams. I think he's still a later round flyer. No, I think he's draftable in 12-team leagues. I think he's a later round flyer guy who is going to have some inconsistency with his game, but you're also going to have weeks that are that he's going to be a nice piece that you fill in throughout the buys and stuff like that as a high upside flex, boom or bust flex type play. So that's what I think his value is. I don't think that I think that passing game runs through Michael Thomas now. Maybe you see an improvement from Brandon Coleman, who's PG County guy, but I don't see much for Ginn Jr.
How about in the best ball format? That's probably his.
Best ball is the way to go. If you want shares of Ted Ginn Jr., best ball is the way to do it. So then this way he's in your lineup when he has those big games.
I agree. Best ball is a perfect opportunity for Ted Ginn. I think there's no question about that. And I agree with you entirely, Corey, in that this all stems from Brandon Cooks bitching about not catching a ball when they scored 40 million points against the Rams. Like, ever since then, there was that dynamic
but
was
see,
broken.
Did that make him dispendable, though? Mark Ingram showed out on the sideline in New Orleans earlier this year. Drew Brees has always been a me guy, but Drew Brees has won a championship there also. But I'm just, I'm just looking at it and thinking back to it. Is Sean Payton that much of a stickler, or was it some other locker room issues about Brandon Cooks that we didn't know about?
I think, as you mentioned about the roster bonus and everything, the Saints just need so much. Mike Thomas stepped up. I think they're looking at that with their system. They can possibly draft a guy later on, insert somebody new in there. And I think having Drew Brees, look, I didn't want to see Jimmy Graham leave New Orleans back a couple of years ago. But they got a lot of holes. They got a lot to fix. I'm very excited, though, to see Brandon Cooks in New England.
I think it's really interesting because we've speculated this for a while. What do we think his value is in New England? Like, how does it change, Matt?
I mean, for me right now, without going in deep to anything with the football, it definitely changes, but it's just another weapon for Brady. It stretches that field. If Gronk can stay on the field, Edelman's just a beast in volume. So, Patriots again. It's like the Patriots are playing checkmate to the NFL. They're so far ahead of the game. It's really scary, be honest with you. I think the NFL's got to do something.
When this deal was first speculated, Greg, I was saying probably in that 12 to 16, 18, but probably to that 13 to 18 range. I thought about it over the weekend, and I talked with some people about it also. I think it's going to be interesting to see where his ADP is at. If you can get him in the second round, I really don't think it's too many players that you could take better in the second round. I don't know about you, Matt, but I'm having visions of Randy Moss.
Randy Moss is a tough one too.
He's not as good as Randy Moss, but
how about?
I think he's using the offense like that, the ultimate field stretcher, a double digit touchdown guy.
How about like a souped up DeSean Jackson in his prime, just, you know, taking it down.
That's a wide receiver one. Mm. I would go obviously the big three with Brown and Beckham and then Mike Evans and then Julio. I think you get DeAndre back in that wide receiver one mix. AJ Green, obviously, Jordy Nelson, Dez Bryant, Michael Thomas, T.Y. Hilton. That's about 11 right there. And then I think Brandon Cooks. I think right at the back end, I think in that 10 to 12 range is where Brandon Cooks goes. So do you like him over Michael Thomas?
I don't.
Yeah, you like Michael Thomas more?
Yes.
And I think I'm going to agree with Greg. I think I'm going to go Michael Thomas, the number one guy in New Orleans, Drew Brees. I honestly really want to have in the draft this year, I want like that top eight pick. Mm-hmm. I really want that top eight pick. I want that last guy to be AJ Green if I got to take. I really want a top seven pick. Mm-hmm. I think it's really good there, living in that range. But
Cooks, you know, or Jordy Nelson?
Give me Jordy Nelson, man.
Until Jordy stops doing it with Aaron Rodgers. Like I said, Tom Brady's great, and he's just got so many weapons. And I do think Cooks is going to have those weeks where he just, like, blows up and just goes crazy. And he'll have some weeks where he'll still be good. But just that whole offensive scheme that they have, I'm gonna go with the Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers guy.
So here's why I'm going to keep being out on, quote-unquote, out on Brandon Cooks. He's one of many. Just like he was in New Orleans, where I understand he was 23 years old, and I understand Drew Brees, the fast track. I believe Brandon Cooks has like never played in a game under 40 degrees. You're out there in New England. Like, you have Julian Edelman there. You have Gronk there if he's ever healthy again. I think Brandon Cooks, you fill a role, and he's going to have some monster games, but are you going to be able to rely on him?
Reliable health-wise.
Yeah, I
agree with that, for sure.
I think all the attention that Gronk is going to get, that you got to give to Edelman, he's going to be pretty tough to cover going down that field.
No question.
So that's why, I mean, I think he's the guy that's really, everybody benefits, but I think he benefits the most in New England.
So, Brandon Cooks, Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant.
I want to say Dez, I'll probably go Dez just because he's been, you know.
Yeah.
But it gets interesting.
Well, Cooks, T.Y. Hilton. I'm T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah. I know you're T.Y. Hilton.
I'm going to stay with the T.Y. Hilton.
I'll stay with T.Y. Hilton, too.
So now we're down to Cooks or Amari Cooper.
I'm going Cooks.
I'll go Cooks.
There you go right there. So that makes him wide receiver 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That makes him wide receiver 12.
Who's after? Okay, give me some guys after Amari Cooper, though.
Ah, your boy, Keenan Allen.
Brandon Cooks.
Okay.
I'm going to go Cooks because just Keenan, I got to see Keenan Allen on the field after that injury and stuff like that. But Keenan Allen is a beast.
Here's the interesting one. Cooks, Doug Baldwin.
I'll go Cooks. I love Doug Baldwin. You know that too. But, all right, so I'm comfortable where we have Cooks then.
You know what? I'm gonna go Doug Baldwin. I just love Doug Baldwin.
I can dig that.
He is the very definition of a baller, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can dig that. Obviously, I think we hit him, unless you want to put I don't remember from last week where you were with Brandon Marshall.
I'm very high on Marshall, but I'm going to go Cooks here. So then I'm going to go with Cooks.
That's still that range. Then, of course, you get your Devontae Adams, your Alshon Jeffries, Cooks, and Sammy Watkins.
I'm going to say Cooks just for the fact that, I mean, the Bills brought in Corey Brown. I mean, come on. If Watkins had like an Alshon Jeffrey, which you think would hurt him, I think that would help him immensely.
Yeah.
So for now, and just, you know, Tom Brady over Ty God. So it is Cooks. As much as I love Watkins, it is Cooks.
Yeah, I got you. And finally, Greg, I think that when you that's where I put Cooks at 12. And then when you look at Tom Brady, I put Tom Brady at 1. That's Odell Beckham and Nicki Minaj.
It is.
It's very
looking good.
I wish I was him.
I saw Corey like freeze there for a second.
I froze him.
That's Drake.
That's Drake. Yeah.
Where was this party at last? That's Von Miller.
Yeah.
Where was this at last night?
It was in Paris.
They had a good time. My agent must have didn't forward me the invite. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I had to be here this morning. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, Brandon Cooks, where he is that's 12 wide receiver sounds right to me.
Yeah, wide receiver 12.
That sounds right to me.
I don't think it's too many picks in the second round better than Brandon Cooks, though.
I gotta agree. The upside is immense, but like I said, it's gonna be interesting. I definitely, like I said, I would like to get the 1-7 and then come around that second round.
And he's sitting there.
There's gonna be some good plays there.
Mm-hmm. Couple other football notes from the weekend, including Marty B and Lance Kendricks headed up to Green Bay. Well, the Bears are just signing crappy wide receivers for lots of money. We'll break it down next. Here are the Roto Experts. So, Jared Cook supposedly turned down a whole bunch of money. He denies it, naturally. Supposedly turned down a whole bunch of money from Green Bay because he was greedy. Martellus Bennett did not. Neither did Lance Kendricks. They are the new tight end duo up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Packers signing both those guys. And pairing up Marty B, the unicorn, with Aaron Rodgers, Corey, seems like a good pairing to me.
Yeah, no doubt. I think it's a good pairing also. I think you get a situation where Bennett goes into a situation where he's in a very good offense, and I think they're going to get him involved more. I think he's a good fit for it. Now, what I'm not going to do, though, is I'm not going to overvalue him. I'm not going to put him up my draft board. Is he going to be a top 5 tight end when the initial rankings come out? I can see that more than likely. But if I'm not getting a discount on draft day, he will not be on my teams. I think, for me, a more relevant, with the way I plan on drafting this year, a more relevant signing was Deion Sims going to the Bears.
You are very big on Deion Sims. I like that, too. But I'll say this about Jared Cook. One of the first things I learned when I was on Wall Street.
Bigfoot.
is there is bulls, bears, and pigs get slaughtered.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get too greedy, you're in a great situation. You know, I want to see where he winds up signing and for how much. I think Marty B stepped right in there, took the money, was less money, but hey, he's in the right place.
Yeah.
I'm totally with you guys. I think that Marty B took a little bit less money, but he's still getting paid, playing with Aaron Rodgers. Things are good.
Yeah. And Marty B has kind of been, the mercenary. Yeah,
he's
kind of been a mercenary. A
little bit.
Yeah, he's got a mercenary thing to him. He's played with damn near every team in the NFC now.
he's had some really good quarterbacks.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, uh-huh. He really has.
So
learned under Jason Witten. They did not like him in Dallas.
They did not
like
him.
He was very immature when he was in Dallas. Started to pull it together, though. Years in Chicago.
Before Chicago, New York.
Yeah,
that's where he made his money.
Exactly. New York, obviously, he stepped up big time. And then in Chicago, and then he got the Super Bowl championship, and now he goes to another good team. He's doing it right.
Him and his brother making a lot of money.
Yeah. I saw his brother was in the news again this week.
For good reasons.
Yeah, yeah. He did something positive,
he's
right?
He's donating all his endorsement money next year to charities for underprivileged children.
Oh, okay, that's good. There you go right there.
It's good news for Michael Bennett.
The Bennett brothers.
Bennett brothers. Richard Rodgers also headed to the bench because they also signed Lance Kendricks, the traditionally you pick him up in like week 10. You start him for a couple weeks and you drop him again.
Lance Kendrick's a good blocking tight end.
Good blocking tight end, yeah.
Yeah, I like both those moves for the Packers. I mean, that Packers can solidify some defense.
Yeah.
I think that's
They're
going to
need more balance on offense. I still feel that way. I think eventually that ended up killing them in the NFC Championship game.
Right.
They were able to, the Falcons were able to pin their ears back and get after them. And then the Falcons, on the other hand, had that balance. So you didn't know where that offense was coming from. So I think balance in the running game is what they're missing. And I don't think they're going to find that.
Well, who do you think ends up as their running back? Does Eddie Lacy return? Does Alat Murray go there?
As crazy as this may sound, I think that running back is going to be Ty Montgomery.
I think Lacy will be back. I think they'll split it between Lacy and Ty Montgomery.
I actually really like Montgomery, but I would like to see
somebody else in there.
Montgomery hand, you know,
can't carry it by itself. And I agree. I think that guy is Lacy. But I think when it's all said and done, the Packer back you want to own is Ty Montgomery. I would take Montgomery before I would take Lacy in the draft. And Lacy's the guy that we used that, you know, remember that year Matthew Berry said he should go 1-1? And I'm not knocking Matthew Berry. A lot of people had him ranked high that shit.
In Chicago. Now,
you know, Matthew Berry's, I'm in the fold, you
yes,
know, with
course.
Matthew Berry.
No, I understand.
Tout guy.
Yeah, of course.
One of my buddies.
One of your guys. So, Brandon Marshall, former Chicago Bears wide receiver, signed a 2-year, $11 million deal. You know who also signed a 2-year, $11 million deal?
Who's that?
Marcus Wheaton. Now, Alshon Jeffrey, former Bears wide receiver, signed a 1-year, $8 million deal.
Yeah, the Alshon Jeffrey move, I mean, I like him in Philly. I wish he would have came up to Buffalo. You know, him and Sammy doing a little Twin Towers on the sides. I really would have been excited about that. You got a great run game. But, you know, the Bills don't go that way. They go Corey Brown.
Philly Brown.
So Alshon Jeffrey signs for $8 million. Brandon Marshall signs 2 for $11 million. Marcus Wheaton signs 2 for $11 million. And Kendall Wright also goes to the Bears. What the hell is going on?
And what about Terrell Pryor? Yeah.
Terrell Pryor is another one that doesn't sign for very much money here in Washington. Like, the wide receiver market, not nearly as robust as we thought it would be.
It dried up quickly.
Not as quickly as the running back market, which is still empty.
Yeah, the running backs are not really getting nothing. It's like people are looking towards the draft for the running back position. I think that Tennessee is obviously a team that going to have. Tennessee may draft 2 wide receivers with their first 2 picks. I would not be surprised.
No one surprised me either.
If Tennessee does that, because that's what they need to help. And the kid Ross would be an excellent fit in Tennessee. His ability to stretch the ball.
Don't you need a complete wide receiver though? John Ross.
If they go 5, you don't think they're going Mike Williams?
I think they got to go Mike Williams at 5. Yeah. But would you go? They have 15 also. I think
I would not do that.
You wouldn't go Williams at 5 and Ross at 15.
No.
I'm sad. I mean, I think they have to go Williams at 5 or Corey Davis, whichever one they like better, whoever's high on their board. And then because now they got a lot of pieces to replace. And as far as the Marcus Wheaton move, Marcus Wheaton's a good player. Maybe he just needs, you know, a new scenery. A lot of people don't get along with Todd Haley, bro.
I understand that, but they were desperate, the Steelers, for help on the outside, the other side of Antonio Brown. Desperate. Marcus Wheaton could get off the bench.
Well, let me ask you a question. Delanie Walker, is he a free agent right now?
No, I think people say Delanie Walker is their one, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's great for Marcus, but as you say, I mean, as much as I like the Joe Ross, that's why the Brandon Cooks deal going there would have been so great, and then you say you draft another wide receiver. I mean,
right now, I think
they have to get that. I think they have to get that offense for him because he looks ready to take that next step.
Yeah, I think so too. So you got Walker. So you say you put Williams in there. He becomes instant impact day one. Soon as he signs the dotted line, he's an impact player fantasy. Probably in that mid 5-6 round range. You got to take him that high because I think he's going to be attached to a very good up and coming young offense. And last year's superstar, last year's hero, last year's waiver wire wonder, Rishard Matthews is in prime position once again to have another very nice fantasy season.
Yeah, Miami should have definitely kept Rishard Matthews. Yeah. I didn't kind of
He's a good
that.
Player.
He is a good mm-hmm. player.
Yeah, he was a little bit undervalued in Miami, but we saw that he was somebody that constantly came out with some big catches, and Tennessee kind of jumped in on that. It took Tennessee a while to utilize him as well.
Yeah, they used him down the field. Now, Tennessee also has that other young man, Sharp, who was very big in the...
Tajay Sharp,
who was the preseason darling last year, him and Dak Prescott. Dak ended up hitting. Sharp has some good games down the stretch, though. last year. So they still need that next piece, though. And Mike Williams, I think we almost are putting Mike Williams on that team. A month before draft day, I think we're putting Mike Williams on that
team. But for Alshon Jeffrey's price, I just don't understand how the Titans didn't secure
him. I don't know why they didn't get in on him. Maybe, you never know. Alshon may have been like, you know, I'd rather be in Philadelphia.
Yeah, 100%. May like Carson Wentz better than Marcus Mariota?
I wouldn't understand. I think Mariota's a good, very good up and coming young quarterback.
Yeah, and he's more along in his career.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
he looks exactly. He looks like the guy that's going
to
break out.
Take the next. Wentz
has to make that next step.
What do we think about this Brock Osweiler Bill O'Brien fight that leaked out over the weekend?
I didn't hear about this.
They're saying that's the reason they moved on.
So basically, Tom Savage, the new starter, he was a new starter, right? First half of that, his first game as a starter, gets a concussion. So, you know, Bill O'Brien goes to Brock at halftime. He's like, you know, you're in for the rest of the game. He goes, well, you're only playing because you have to. And Bill O'Brien's like, well, yeah, that's kind of how it works.
Like, you're the backup quarterback. Meaning if the starter gets hurt, you have to go in the game.
Right.
This is what we're overpaying you for.
So Osweiler screamed at him and tried walking out of the room. And O'Brien, like, put his arm out and was like, you ain't going nowhere. And they started screaming at each other. Eventually, they had to get separated by teammates and coaches. And then, you know, Osweiler went out and started that game and started the playoff game, and now he's no longer in Houston.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't want
him. Wow.
I definitely wouldn't want Osweiler on my team after something like that. I mean, he got so overpaid last year, didn't produce, and then he's going to gripe.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, you stunk the joint. You got $1 billion. You stunk the joint up. You got benched way. You held the job way longer than you should have. You got benched. Then you got another opportunity, and you're going to jump in the coach's face?
Yeah. They should have been like, I need you to clean that toilet back there. And you should have said,
I'd have been like, who else is on Tennessee? I mean, Houston, that, you know, I mean, got a little bit of quarterbacking experience. You know what I was thinking when Washington signed Terrell Pryor? What if they try him at quarterback?
you're the only one that said that.
Well, you never know, though.
Never know.
Washington is so dysfunctional, you never know.
It's true.
And Chris Cooley came out and apologized over the weekend.
Really?
He said that wasn't his. He said he was sorry, that's not what it was meant to happen when he talked about McLaughlin a few weeks ago and stuff like that. And he said that did not come from the team. That he was independent in saying
okay,
that. And he apologized.
Well, that sounds like the team.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? So,
I'm excited for Terrell Pryor, though.
Like, oh, no, this is a lawsuit.
I agree.
Snyder's like, I agree. A lawsuit coming my way.
And I'm excited for Terrell Pryor if Kirk Cousins is the quarterback.
Yes, oh, yes.
If Cousins is the quarterback, I like that with Reed, Crowder, see what the kid Doxson becomes. So, it's going to be interesting. I like what they did on offense. If Kirk Cousins is the quarterback. If Kirk Cousins is not the quarterback, get the hell away from them. Get the hell away from them. Because right, Terrell Pryor might be the quarterback.
Might be.
Would you experiment with that?
No.
No, I wouldn't
do that. Let me be a wide receiver.
What if they lose Cousins? Like, well, they'll likely lose Cousins after this season.
Maybe.
And then they're like, we brought you here to be the quarterback.
No. Well, he's a free agent. He'll be a free agent next year.
Oh, yeah, they give him a 1 year.
Yeah, this is a big year for him. I think he needs
to. He needs to prove that he can be a real wide receiver. Yeah, exactly. All right, final break of the show. Come back. One more region to get to. I guess he's in that region, Corey.
Fear the Turtle.
The University of Maryland. We break down the final region of the tournament. It's in the end of the OGs next on the Road to Experts in the Morning. Final few minutes here, Roto Experts in the Morning. Appreciate the love this morning. And of course, Matt Bodica hanging out with us yet again. Thanks, Matty.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure, pleasure to have you in here. Now, the final region that we have to get to is the bottom left region. It's the West. And it features the best 6 seed in all the land, the University of Maryland. So I'm just kidding. We're not going to focus on Maryland. But Gonzaga, the 1 seed, Arizona, the 2 seed out west here. Gonzaga 32-1, their only loss in their final regular season game of the year against BYU. Now, Gonzaga, do you believe they've never been in the Final Four? Mark Few has never gotten there. Is this the year, Matt Bodica?
No. It's not the year. Why not? I got the Arizona taking them down. I think it's Arizona's year. I got Arizona going all the way.
All the way to the championship. Okay.
But I am excited about the Northwestern versus Vanderbilt.
So I told you that I told you just a couple minutes ago that Miami Michigan State was my favorite, was one of my two favorite first round games. The other one is Northwestern Vanderbilt. I think this is going to be an awesome game. One of the ones I'm really looking forward to in the first round.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm going to be rooting for Northwestern. I mean, honestly, I really don't care who wins, but I'm going to be pulling for Northwestern. I like to take a side. I'm going to pull for them.
Brian McIntosh.
And them versus the Zags should be...
Should be fun.
Yeah, that should be another interesting.
Yeah,
be fun.
No, I like that. I like that top half out there in Salt Lake City.
Notre Dame and Princeton, another 5-12 game. Yeah, the Princeton offense from the Ivy League against Notre Dame. Do you know Notre Dame is the best free throw shooting team in the nation?
I did not know that.
That could help. That could help. That could help. Then you get
know how popular of a that's going to be.
Yeah.
The 12 seed that people pick the most.
And Middle Tennessee over Minnesota will be a big one.
Okay, yeah, no
but
doubt.
Princeton, Notre Dame will be another big one, too. But I like Notre Dame in this game. Mike Bray's a good coach. West Virginia, Bucknell you have. West Virginia's press scares me against the smaller teams, but they did lose in the first round last year to Stone Cold Stephen F. Austin.
Well done, well done.
Thanks. Maryland Xavier, easy. Florida State versus Florida Gulf Coast. Florida Gulf Coast. Can Dunk City do it again, Corey?
No, I don't got Dunk City. I got FSU. I think this FSU
in Orlando,
team is
though. In Orlando. Is that closer to Gulf Coast or closer to Tallahassee?
I think it's closer to Gulf Coast, but I could be wrong.
I'll be rooting for FGC, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm going FGC.
Woo! Just
great. Florida State's really good.
Yeah, they are really good.
Xavier's no cakewalk, though. Don't worry about that. Xavier's no cakewalk. That's going to be interesting.
It's a good game.
You'll be up, and that's a 7 o'clock start, too, so you'll be
I'll be
locked in for that.
Yeah, there's a chance I don't come to work until Friday morning. but yeah, that'll be a good game for sure. Get to the bottom of the bracket. You got St. Mary's. You got VCU. St. Mary's, obviously, very good school. They're in the tournament seemingly every year as well with Gonzaga. VCU back in the tournament. No Shaka Smart. How about VCU in the tournament and Shaka Smart not?
I'm going VCU. It was even before that. VCU back in the day when I used to play the book was a team I knew nothing about, but I'd always bet them. So I got a little history.
Got a little love. And then you got Arizona.
Shaka Smart's at a football school. That's why.
He's in a football school. But it was his choice. He could go anywhere in the country. He could have any job in the country. He chose
went,
that
guy, he went. He took that money.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
money's hard to turn down.
Yep.
Arizona, North Dakota, we all like Arizona. Now, Matt has already told us he's got Arizona going to the finals, winning it all. Arizona versus Gonzaga, is that what it is for you in this region?
Yes. I have Gonzaga getting past Princeton and facing off against Arizona.
All right. What about you, Corey? What's your Elite Eight look like here?
Oh, boy. I'm going to go Gonzaga, West Virginia. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You like that so far?
Nope.
I'm going to go Gonzaga, West Virginia, and then I got to go FSU, Arizona.
Right.
And then I got FSU.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to take FSU
You're an ACC guy.
Huh?
You're an ACC guy.
I'm an ACC guy. I'm going to take FSU out the bottom, but I will. And then FSU and Gonzaga. I think I'm putting Florida State in the Final Four.
So, correct me if I'm wrong. Your Final Four is Duke, Florida State, North Carolina,
and
Louisville, which is four ACC teams.
That's the whole thing.
You literally just put the entire ACC in the Final Four.
I can't do that. This West Virginia team is intriguing, too, though. I don't have a final bracket yet. Well, I'm incomplete. I'm loaded.
I do have Maryland... going to Arizona and losing, so
me too.
So the Turtles,
screw Florida State.
Sorry,
kill them.
Sorry, Florida State. I'm sorry, Terps. I think Florida State is too tough for y'all.
We got Mello Trimble though.
I know you do, and I like Mello a lot.
Stay Mello.
We'll see what happens. I'll be in front of the television for that one.
Tell you what, I won't be doing. Staying Mello.
No, you will be. You'll be pretty pumped up.
I'll be out of my mind.
You taking a trip down to Orlando?
I'm not.
No.
I told you, if they were playing in the East region, I would have bought tickets today.
You'd have got it right. You've been online right now.
I've been online right now.
Nobody in this region is intriguing to you that come up here?
Well, this is in the East bracket?
Yeah.
I don't need to go see Duke.
No, why would you do that?
Do that.
Hurt yourself.
But yeah, you know, so my Elite Eight here, I do have I have Gonzaga. I have Notre Dame actually got in the Elite Eight over West Virginia. Maryland, of course, and then Arizona. I also am with Matt, Gonzaga versus Arizona, with Arizona coming out. So my final four, I told you I'm going Pac-12 heavy. It's Arizona, UCLA, Oregon, and then Duke up here, with the finals being that rematch between, everyone loves UNC, the UNC-Duke rematch. I'm giving you an Arizona-UCLA rematch.
Okay.
I have the Arizona-UCLA rematch.
Oh, nice.
But I have Villanova, Arizona, Louisville, UCLA.
All right, there you go. Corey, I know your Final Four is not official yet, but you want to give it to us anyway?
No, I'm not. My Final Four will not be official.
Well, we have a couple of days here. We have a couple of days, Final Four. We'll get your college basketball coverage. The more information we get, more sleepers, more busts, more of that stuff, we'll break it down each and every day here.
This is a fantasy
all week
channel,
long.
So we have to, I mean, the NCAA March Madness is the biggest, really maybe the biggest fantasy game.
One last note for you on today's program. So, you know, I talked about this last week, how Jim Boeheim called out Greensboro. He says, it's BS that the ACC tournament's in Greensboro every year, which I've said for years, Corey. Like, it's not fair. Like, why the hell are we going to Greensboro to play the tournament? You know, UNC's there and Duke's there. Like, that's not fair. Like, we should be in, like, a bigger arena, and, you know, like, they were in Brooklyn this year.
Yeah.
Do you know who, Syracuse did not make the NCAA tournament. They were the 69th team, maybe people think. So go to the NIT. Do you know who they're playing the first round of the NIT?
In Greensboro?
They are playing UNC Greensboro.
You tied that up with a nice bump.
There you go right there.
Old School Fantasy's up next. The OGs, what's going on today, Corey?
Coming up on the OGs, got a lot of WBC to talk about. Obviously, some of the major injuries from spring training. Couple of NFL notes also. And, you know, we just put a bow on the weekend, see what happens, and maybe I'll get George to give me his Final Four.
There you go. Corey, Scott, and George coming up next. I want to thank Matt Modica for joining us. For Corey Parson and Matt Modica, I'm Greg Sussman. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday, and we'll see you right back here tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Eastern. Bye-bye, everybody.